This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. In the 1960s, Ornette Coleman led a revolution in jazz. We'll hear from him in a few minutes. At Coleman's side during this revolution was the trumpeter Don Cherry. Cherry died last week at the age of 58 of liver failure caused by hepatitis. He spent the first part of his career in the late 50s and early 60s with the Ornette Coleman Quartet. He later played Coleman compositions in the Coleman alumni band Old and New Dreams. Over the years, Cherry recorded with many avant-gardists. He also traveled the world, learning the instruments and musics of other cultures, which he incorporated into his own music. Before we hear an interview from our archives, let's hear a passage from Cherry's 1966 album, Symphony for Improvisers. In 1990, I asked Don Cherry how he was first exposed to music of other cultures.
Well, it's just a part of the karma, my karma, the way life has been. You know, being raised, actually born in Oklahoma and raised in Los Angeles and Watts, and where that I've been around many people from different cultures. And my grandmother was a half American Indian, Choctaw Indian, so we always kept that tradition of American Indian songs and certain celebrations that we would have. And being raised in a mixed neighborhood where there's people from different ethnic backgrounds, I got a chance to, be exposed to different cultures and music.
Was it your father who was a bartender at a jazz club? Was it he who introduced you to jazz?
Yes, I mean, we were raised around it. Even before coming in 1940 is when we took Route 66 coming from Oklahoma City to Los Angeles. And before that, my father had a club called the Cherry Blossom in Tulsa, Oklahoma. And, you know, a lot of great musicians came from Oklahoma. Oscar Pettiford, a great bass player, and Charlie Christian, one of the great guitar players. So it was just a part of our everyday life, hearing and being around music and the whole feeling of parties.
When you played with the Ornette Coleman Quartet at the Five Spot in 1959, the music you were playing was considered very revolutionary, and some people really loved it, and other people thought it was, you couldn't even call it jazz.
Right. Would
you share one of your memories of what it was like then to be in the middle of all this controversy?
Yes, well, what's interesting about that is that when we came to New York in the winter of 59, everyone came from Leonard Bernstein to Thelonious Monk. And like you say, some people loved it and some people hated it, didn't like it. And there would be arguments and fights, and a lot of different scenes have happened. And I remember one night Charlie Mingus bringing Phineas Newborn. And Phineas Newborn has perfect pitch. You know, you can have relative pitch or perfect pitch, and he had perfect pitch. And Charlie Mingus wanted him to play with us. And there was a piano there, so Charlie Mingus had brought Phineas Newborn to set in with us. And we started the set. And Charlie Mingus set Phineas Newborn in front of the piano. And the whole set, we had played four or five tunes, an hour set, and Phineas just stood up there and looked at the piano while we were playing and didn't play a note. And at the end of the set, Mingus came up on the bandstand while Phineas was sitting there, and he took all his elbows and hands and put all the notes on the piano. Like that. And he said, that's where it is. It's all there.
Is one of the reasons why Ornette Coleman didn't use a piano in the quartet of the 60s, because everybody was playing slightly off-key intentionally. you know, slightly sharp or whatever, and a piano was tuned, and you couldn't get between notes on a piano.
And you're saying, the tempered. It's a tempered instrument.
Tempered, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And actually, this is something else I've learned, and it's funny how certain things you're involved in, and you don't really understand, but you feel it's of value, and later on in years you understand. From studying Indian music again, we realized there's 36 notes in an octave in Indian music. And the semitones, the mini-tones, are called shrutis. And pitch is one particular reason of not using the piano, because of us working with tones and not just notes, and the different ways of tuning. But one of the reasons of not using the piano, I can also see, is the freedom of a percentage of improvisation. What I'm saying is that you can improvise and go in more directions by not having a piano. If there is a piano player that has the ear enough to know the voicings and can be able to voice it in a way where that you can hit those in-between tones or voices that would, which I know Thelonious could and Abdul Ibrahim Dalabrand can.
You used to play in unison with Ornette Coleman on the themes. So it would be trumpet and alto saxophone in unison, but it wasn't the kind of like polished simultaneous playing. You both had tones that sounded like cries in a way. Tell me a little bit about how you'd rehearse and what you'd be going for when you would play in unison on the melody.
Yeah, that's interesting, because now he's really working on something called harmonic unison. But at that particular time, we would learn the compositions frontwards and backwards. And he would write a composition, and I would play the melody, and then Arnett would play with me and write a harmony to the melody. And it's funny, in the harmonic concept, it ends up that when that happens, the harmony that he had written or put with the melody that I was playing would end up being the melody. And the melody that I was playing from the beginning would end up being the harmony. So like an example of that is when we would play with Dewey Redman and myself and Arnett, or Dewey Redman's a saxophone player from Texas that is really fantastic. He's one of the few musicians that really knows the harmonic concept. But it was a period when we would play together, and Arnett would write a third part, and I would be playing the melody, then Dewey would be playing maybe the harmony part that Arnett had written from the second voice, and then he would write a third voice, and it would end up where the third voice that he would write would end up being the melody, and the other two parts that we would play would end up being the harmony.
Your primary instrument is the trumpet, but mostly you play a miniature trumpet called the pocket trumpet. What do you like about this miniature trumpet over the larger sized one?
Well, the first one I had was made in Pakistan, and that was in the 50s before when I first started playing with Arnett, and it's because of me, I'm very thin person and small, and it's right to my nature, and I can hear the instrument instant because of it not being long, and also because, I like playing cornet and trumpet. With the pocket trumpet, you can get the sound of a cornet, you can get the sound of a trumpet and of a flugelhorn all in this. It depends on you, on what sound you can get out of it.
Don Cherry, he died last Thursday at the age of 58 at the home of his stepdaughter, Nina Cherry. Our interview was recorded in 1990. This is Fresh Air.